Few announcements to make this morning. We'll go over a few things after that. One of those is not this week, but next week, we are going to Global Youth Camps. We're excited about it. We're thankful for the help that we've got. We're thankful for the people in the church that have helped us. And we're excited about what's going on. But what's important next week, I believe it's next Sunday. Is that correct? Yes, next Sunday we're going to recognize our high school graduates and some others. So if you would want to be a part of that, your family wants to be a part of that, we welcome you. And we have ways of making sure everything will stay as far as the social distancing should go, and I think we're going to be all right there. But if you've got a graduate and you've already contacted us about it, please please come and be a part of it. It will be a good thing. So before we get started this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then I think Brother Jeff's going to come up and sing a few songs. So if y'all would pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning, and God, we thank you for the service, Lord, that we've been allowed to have here, God. God, everything that we do here, Lord, we want to honor you, Lord, with our lives and our worship, Lord. And God, as we look out and we see our nation in trouble, Lord, and the things that are going on, God, we know that you understand all these things, Lord, and that you love us. And that, Lord, you've got it. Lord, you've got everything. And, Lord, you can control everything. Lord, all we'd have to do is just do our part. Lord, surrender to you, Lord, and pray to you and continue to do what is right, Lord. And God, that we know we'll be all right, Lord, as long as we do those things. Lord, we pray that you'd give us the confidence, Lord, like they sing about this morning in those times, that God would be able to worship you and praise you and claim you, Lord, as our Savior and, Lord, as our leader, Lord, in this life. And Lord, it's in the name of Jesus now that we pray. Amen. Thank you, Brother Jeff. Come on down.
Are we on? There we go. Praise God. It's good. So good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Well, there's a lighthouse on a hillside. Overlooks a life safe. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see. And the light that shines in the dark. My mind goes back to that story. Thank God I saw the light, and the light that old light has standing on the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. Oh, I like him. Jesus is my if it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be? And if it wasn't for I don't know where I would be without the Lord this morning. Amen. Woo. I just love him so much, and he's been so good to me, and I know he's been good to you because he's faithful. Amen. And I just want to stay in his will and finish well throughout the rest of the days of my life. Sometimes I think I'm in control, and I act so foolishly, facing problems on my own. I don't know what's best for me. My mistakes at times disturb just give me what I need. When I complain from time to time, forgive me, Lord, I pray. Lord, keep me in your will, so I won't get in remind me, Lord, I'm just a glove in which you slip your hand. Not my will, but yours be done. Though I may not understand the best day plans that I somehow always go astray. Lord, keep
so I won't get in your way. Put me where you want to live, not where I want to be. If I should ask for things I want, just give me what I need. When I complain from time to time, forgive me, Lord, I pray. Lord, keep me in your will, so I won't get in your way. Jesus, precious Lord, each and every single day, Lord, keep me in your will, so I won't get in your. So I won't get in your way.
Thank you, Brother Jeff. Really enjoy hearing Brother Jeff sing. Yes. Brother Jeff loves singing about the Lord, and that's evident, and we appreciate you, brother. We got a couple of announcements we want to make as we move forward in the service. I'm going to ask Miss Darla Carson if she would come up. While she's coming, I want to say thank you again to those up in the sound room, Brother Chris Pope, Rusty Monk, and Miss Teresa Davis, for doing what they do to help us be able to come to you live on Facebook. And actually helping us be able to present this to you. We also want to say thank you to all the church workers. We appreciate the security team, the deacons, those that cut the grass. Even though we've not been able to be here for several weeks, there are still things that have to be done. And the workers in the church have been very faithful to do those things. So we appreciate you very much. Miss Darla?
Since I was here this morning, I just wanted to make an announcement that I'll be doing a Facebook Live at 2 for the kids. I know that we have service doing Facebook Live, but I don't want to leave the kids out because the kids are a very big part of the church because they're the future of the church. So I've been doing Facebook Lives on Sunday at 2. So if you want to tune in, they're not only for kids, they're for adults too. I do an object lesson and a lesson, and today's lesson is going to be on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So I hope to see you today at 2. And it's at the Hiram First Baptist Church Awana Facebook page. So if you just put that in the search bar, I'll come right up. And I hope to see you today at 2. Thanks.
Thank you, Miss Darla. We appreciate all the hard work that Darla has also done. I thought this morning, Brother Tommy, come up here just a minute. I don't think everybody out there in the Facebook world can actually see what's going on this morning. For those of you that have been missing seeing what Brother Tommy is going to wear, he come dressed as a creamsicle this morning.
I don't want anybody to be licking on me either now. I want to say hey to the church. I miss you guys. I'd be glad we can all get back together. When I was coming over here this morning, I was listening to a pastor, and he was talking about God's house. This is God's house.
Amen.
When we bought this building, we anointed this building to God. Everything around here belongs to God. It don't belong to us, folks. It belongs to God.
Amen.
We come here to worship a mighty Savior. His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I will tell you something, folks. He's in control. We're not. I don't know what's going to happen. I see a lot of evil going on right now, and I hate to see it. And we need to pray for all these people. I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like this in my 75 years of living. I've seen a lot of things. But I have never seen so much hate as we have in this world. Let me tell you, Jesus is about love. Amen. And I will tell you another thing. It ain't about black lives. It's about all lives.
Amen.
Matters. All life. And when I was looking, there's all different kind of races. Excuse me, Joe. I didn't mean to get started. But they're all different kind of races. If you look around, you got your white, your black, your red, your yellow. All these people are friends of mine. I like the Japanese, the Germans. If you look around at all the different races, God made all this.
Amen.
These are God's people too. You know, the white and blacks don't have a patent on Jesus Christ. All people does. We got to remember that we need to learn to love. And if people would just love each other, boy, what a war would this be. But that ain't never going to happen. It goes all the way back from the beginning when Cain and Abel, it went all the way back to there. Men has been fighting men every generation. I don't understand it. If you look back, I was reading all the history channels. I'm looking at all of it. And I went back to 1918 after World War I. Boy, there are people over there, they went in there and fought for our freedom. And they come back and they brought the Spanish flu with them. Killed 50 million people. You know, people have forgot about that. Polio come on. Polio come along. It killed a lot of people. Then we had the smallpox. If we go back into history, there's been a lot of viruses hit this country. But guess what, folks? We're going to beat it.
Amen.
Because God's in control.
Amen.
We're not. So I'm praying for each and every one of y'all. And everybody that's watching, I'm praying for you. That hopefully that we'll all be back together soon. I miss you guys. Love you.
I want to also say to the church, thank you for your continued support of the church during these difficult times, and I know it has been difficult. We are glad to see that people are starting to go back to work. Things are much better, had a much better report this week. Thank you for continuing to give. You can give by sending things to our P.O. Box at P.O. Box 524 Hiram, Georgia, just Hiram First Baptist Church, and you can go online. Go to our website. There's a link there. You can pay through PayPal. And the ID is just HiramFirstBaptistChurch@gmail.com. So thank you very much. We appreciate it. God has been very good to us. Just an update on services. We are going to have to continue to have staggered services in the alphabet for just a few more weeks. Our next regularly scheduled service is actually July the 19th. On July the 19th, we're supposed to have the diplomats here. And that was actually a reschedule of our homecoming. So we hope and pray that things will continue to stay as they are and get better so that we can have that. I'm looking forward to that, being able to see people. I miss you. Miss seeing people in the house of the Lord. Now, if you got your Bible, let's go to Matthew chapter number 24. And I'll tell you the things and try to bring what God has put on my heart. I hope you don't mind if I go ahead and just pull my tie off. It seems to help me. Be able to keep my voice a little bit longer. But I got a message this morning, and the title of the message is The Message. Now, it is the message for the church. It is the message for the searching soul. And it is also a message for the non-believer. And I believe the day and time that we're living in today, you've got all three of those. There are those that serve God, believe in God, and they need to hear from God. There are those who don't necessarily know the Lord, but they know they need God. They know they need something because they are not finding what they need in this world. I call those searchers, and there's a message for you this morning. And then there are those who are just blatant non-believers, but God has a message for you too. If you got your Bible, in Matthew chapter number 24, we're going to read the first 12 verses. As it's already been said this morning, there is a tremendous amount of things going on in our country. There are things that trouble us. There are things that bring concern and raise concern to people in their hearts and their lives. But I want you to understand this morning, nothing is a surprise to God. He sees it. He understands it. He knew it before it was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen. And here's what I want us to understand as Christians. God knows what the end is going to be. In fact, he's already told us what's going to happen in the end. And sometimes we just need to be reminded of that. And we as Christians need to be reminded, but we need to tell others. And we want to just do our best for a few minutes this morning to look at that. But in Matthew chapter 24, and beginning in verse number 1 down through verse number 12, it says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? And verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And what he was doing is he knew what was going to happen to the temple, and he knew what was going to happen to Jerusalem. And he knew that in 70 AD it would be torn down and it would be overrun. He also knew at that time that the Jews would be scattered all over the world. But I'll tell you something else that he knew, is he knew that there would come a time in our generation where the Jews would be brought back to the homeland. Now, folks, we're living in the latter days. Jesus knew these things, and he began to try to tell them things that they could not see. And it says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, what shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse or various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity, or because sin, shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Now, I could read more, but there's no way I can cover all that. I wanted to read that as a preface to what's on my heart this morning. But, you know, there's a song that we used to sing in a line, and it says, "The signs of the times are everywhere." Now, I can remember Kendra and I hadn't been married long. We didn't even have any children, and we went up to a singing in Rome, Georgia, to sing. She went up there to sing with a singing group. And there was a man there who had been traveling, and he was a traveling evangelist. And he told the story about being away from his home for several weeks. And he said, "I walked back up to the front porch of my house, and where the house was, there was two columns there. And as I walked up to go up the three steps between the columns, there were spider webs all back and forth between the columns. And he said, there were leaves hanging all in the spider webs. And he said, I just stood there." And I want to tell you, as a Christian, there are times that you just need to stand still and listen to the voice of God. God could be speaking to you in whatever situation that you face, and he does that if you're his child. He said, "I stood there, and I looked at those webs, and God spoke to me, and the Holy Spirit said to me." Now, folks, I want to tell you something. This was 30 years ago. He said, "I'm getting things lined up for leaving, for the meeting in the air." Now, if you read these scriptures that we read, it starts off and it goes down, and there's a blocks and periods of time. There's so many things that fit into each of these verses that we really don't even have time to cover this morning. But here's what I do want you to understand, that we are seeing many of these things happening in our day. We're living in a very unique time, a time where the scriptures are being fulfilled and things are happening all around us. And as Christians, we should not lose sight of it, of the day and time that you and I are living in. Now, if you're out there and you're searching, I want to tell you something. If you're troubled, there's a reason to be troubled, because America is in trouble today, because America needs God more than it needs anything else. America needs God more than it needs the stock market to hit 30,000 points. America needs God more than it needs the unemployment rate to get back to less than 5%. America needs God more than it needs anything else, because God has got his arms wide open right now, reaching out for anyone who will come to him. You see, people are uncertain. They're uncertain about tomorrow. They don't sometimes know exactly what to do. They're troubled. They're looking for answers. The problem with most people and most communities and most politicians, most leaders today, is they're looking for the answers in the absolute wrong place. We cannot educate people to the point that we build morality in them. We must tell them that they came from God, they were created by God, they're here because of God, and they should love one another because of God. If we think we'll do it any other way, we will continue to battle and fight until the very end. You can have help in the midst of a cursed generation by having grace poured out on you from the hand of God to bring a curve to the curse, to help you be able to live and be the absolute best that you can possibly be. So the question, what does the future hold? The truth is, God's already told us in his word. I want to share just some of that, but as I begin to think about these things and God begin to tell me, he says, I have a message for the church. And then he began to tell me, I have a message for the searching. And then he said, I have a message for that unbeliever, that stone cold hardened heart. But as I begin to think about the church, and I want to say this to the church, church, I love you. I care about the church, and I'll say that about this church. I care about Hiram First Baptist Church, but I want you all to understand something. When I'm riding down in the country, and I love being out in the country, I don't like to go to the city. I'll go. If I had a revival to preach downtown, I'd go do it, okay? But I just love the country. But Brother Ken, when I'm driving through the country, everywhere you go, there's a little church over here, little church over there. I want to tell you something. When I ride by every one of them, I feel something. And sometimes I've actually done this. I've stuck my hand out. You know what? That represents a members of the family of God, that people will be in heaven with you and I, that many of them I've never even met. But that's the church. Those are God's people. And I want to tell you something. God cares for his church. Here's a message I believe God wants the church to hear this morning. I believe God wants you as a member of his family to be encouraged. I believe he wants you to know that he sees you and he sees where you're at. I believe God wants you to know that he hears you when you pray. He hears the concerns that you have when you pour them out to him. He hears the concerns that you have when you look at this world and the condition that this world is in today. God sees you, God hears you, and God wants you to know that he loves you. I believe God wants you to also know, when you're looking around and things are uncertain and you don't know what's going to happen, why is this happening over here? Why is that happening down there? He wants you to understand that he is God and he is still in control today. He wants you to understand and know that he is God. He is infallible. He is immutable, and he does not change. I'm glad to know that this morning. I struggle with it. I'm just a human being. But God has not changed, and he wants you to know that. As we look at these things going on today and we read this scripture, and truly it's troubling just to read it and try to fathom it in our minds and understand how much of this has happened, how much of this is in the future, how much of this will the church actually see before the church is raptured out. Here's what I want you to understand. God wants you to know that his plan will be carried out. Amen. I want to tell you, there's not enough politicians in the world. There's not enough armies in the world. There's not enough money in the world. There's not enough power in the world to keep any of the plans of God from being carried out according to his will. Amen. He's going to carry those plans out. And here's what I want you to know. I believe God wants the church to know this. Jesus is coming back just like he said. He's going to return. Now, I don't know when. The Bible says no man knows the day. Some have tried to predict it, but I believe based upon what we're seeing, the signs of the times are everywhere. He says don't lose sight of it. When you're looking at all that's going on in the world, don't lose sight of the fact that I'm coming to get my church. And there's only going to be so much that I'm going to allow the church, the bride of Christ, to experience until I pull you out from amongst a world that has rejected me, that has hated me, that has thrown me aside, that hates me, that hates you. There's only going to be so much that I'm going to allow the church to endure until I come and get my people. God wants you to remember that this morning. I believe, based on what I read in the Word of God, it says that in the last days, these are the times, and you could go over and read this on farther over in the 24th chapter. It says, in those days, they will be marrying, they will be giving in marriage, they'll be running to and fro. You know, sometimes people say, this has got to happen, that's got to happen. I want to tell you what I believe to happen. People are going to be going about their lives, they're going to be prospering, they're going to be having more and more, and they're going to be thinking that all roads lead to this world, forgetting about God, and all of a sudden, he's going to split the eastern sky, and he's going to call the church up, and you and I are going to leave. It's not going to be a worldwide famine when everybody's starving to death. It's going to be a time of prosperity when people have forgotten God. But what's going to happen? The church. Here's what happens to the church. We see all the world around us is getting farther and farther away from God, and our heart burns. It hurts. We see all the things going on and the rioting and the trouble. And folks, I know we've got issues in this country. But we've gotten to the point today we can't even sit down and have a reasonable conversation. And God looks down and he looks at the church and he sees people and he sees the turmoil and he sees the crime and he sees the evil that is at the highest level. And he sees the church hurting, and he sees the pain, and he sees people crying out to God. He sees mothers on their knees praying. He sees the drug abuse, and he's listening to the cries of his people. And one day, what's going to happen is God the Father is going to look at his son, and he's going to say, son, go get your church. And we're leaving here. Now, I want to tell you something. It's going to get bad after that. Church is going to be gone. The Holy Spirit is going to be gone. The preaching is going to be gone. Now, there may be some preaching. And by the way, all preaching doesn't come from God. But it's going to be different. But for you and I as Christians, I want you to understand God's message to you is he's not going to leave you here. He didn't leave the children of Israel out into the wilderness to leave them there. He was trying to teach them to trust him. All God wants you to do right now is trust him because he will return for you and he will take you and I to heaven to be with him. Now, I know I'm going to heaven. I don't know when, but I'm going. But what are we going to do in the meantime? You know, there are days and times in our lives, and I'm sure everybody here can attest to this, that we absolutely feel the fullness of the blessings of God. Days that you're at peace, the days that the temperature is perfect, the days that the breeze is blowing and you can look at God's creation. For some people, it's sitting down watching the sunrise on a morning. For some people, it's watching the sunset. For some people, it's a rainbow. For some people, it's looking into the eyes of their first grandchild. I want to tell you, there's many, many blessings on this earth. And we can enjoy them here in the midst of what we're experiencing all around us because this is the house of God. We're the people of God. He has not left us, and his Holy Spirit has not gone away to where we cannot feel it. We can enjoy the blessings and the goodness and the presence of the Lord and the fellowship. You know, one thing about the house of God, and it's true, fellowship, folks, is important. Now, I don't mind giving you a fist bump and an elbow bump or a tap on the side of the foot. But sometimes we need that fellowship, don't we? And we will, yes, we will get back to normal. As Brother Tommy's already mentioned, there have been many things that have hit this country a whole lot worse than this, and it passed. And can I tell you, this too shall pass. And if it doesn't pass, and the Lord comes back, it won't be there. There's going to be a whole lot of things left outside the gates of heaven. And can I tell you something that we can do in the meantime, and I hear it and I see it in the house this morning, is we can have communion and fellowship and worship in our relationship with God. You know, there are so many things on this earth that God has given us to bless us with. But there is nothing in the heart of a true believer that can take the place of your relationship and fellowship and worship of God. Nothing. Nothing you can have, nothing you can hold, nothing you can endure that's more important than that. That's why the house of God and the people of God and worship is so important. And I want you to know God has a message for you. He's coming. And he hears you. And he loves you. And in the meantime, I believe what God wants you to know is if you'll walk with him, he'll walk with you. And yes, you can be blessed even in the midst of the things that are going on today. Now, I believe God also has a message for the searching. That's to those who are looking for an answer. For those who are searching for truth in the midst of uncertain times. For those searching for God, that they feel like they've gotten to the point that they don't know what to do. And I've heard this testimony given. I've heard it given from those that have went through Celebrate Recovery in jail and then ended up in the church. Here's what they've done. They've got to the point that nothing they have is working, and they hit their knees. Not because they're like you and me and they've been in Sunday school since they could crawl, but because they know there's something. There must be something. And they cry out to God and even say something like this: God, if you're real, will you please help me right now? For the searching, for those looking for God, for those that are troubled, here's what I believe God has a message for you this morning. God wants you to know that he cares for you. God cares for you. If you've ever gotten to the point that you feel like nobody cares, nobody knows where you're at, nobody knows what's going on, I want you to know that God cares for you. John chapter 3, verse number 16 says this, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, God cares for you, and I want you to know something else. If you're searching, if you're looking, God is already looking for you. You see, in Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28, Jesus said this. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, when you get to the point that you feel like your burdens and your trouble and the hurts in your heart and your life are so heavy you can't carry them, I believe what God wants you to do is understand that he's there. And if you'll bring them to them, he'll help you carry them. He'll carry what you can't carry, and he'll do what you can't do. That's what God wants you to know. For the searching, I believe Jesus wants you to know this. Jesus wants you to know that he died on a cross for you, accepting the penalty of all of your sins. I want to flip over to Isaiah chapter number 53 and read just a couple of verses, beginning the fourth verse. And these are prophetic verses, and they're speaking of Jesus Christ. It says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him," on Jesus, "the iniquity of all." That's Jesus bearing your sins. Says he was oppressed, and he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." That's what Jesus did for us. You see, to the searching, I believe God wants you to know that Jesus died for you so that you could be forgiven, so that you could find mercy, so that you can have abundant life on this earth. The best life you'll ever have on this earth is a life that's lived for God. But he also did that so that you could spend eternity with him in heaven. You see, if you're looking for God this morning, I want you to know that God is looking for you. And he cares for you. And all you have to do is cry out to him. You don't have to know a perfect theological prayer to pray. You just have to have the right desire in your heart. And sometimes, as I've heard these three words prayed, God help me, that's all it takes. But there's one more message I want to mention this morning, and we'll be done. It's the message to the non-believer. And I believe God is sending a cry right now to the non-believer, to the person, to the world that's rejected him. And I don't know when the last cry will be. I don't know when the last message will be preached. I don't know when it'll be the last time that a preacher will stand up in a pulpit and pour out the message of salvation and it not ever be done again. But sometimes I've thought about it when I preach and I think, Lord, help me do the very best that I can to honor you because this might be my last time. And for somebody this morning, this may be the last time you hear this message. The message to the non-believer in Psalms 14, verse number 1, first part of the verse, says this. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And then in Psalms 51, 53, in verse 1, in the first part of the verse, it says it again. It says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Here's the message to the non-believer that God wants you to understand this morning. Number one, you will not be forced to believe. It's up to you. In the book of Joshua, chapter number 24 and verse number 15, and this is the first part and the last part of the verse for time, Joshua said this. He said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you. You choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, it's a personal relationship with a living God. It's up to you. Nobody's going to force you. Nobody will force you. But can I say this? If I could pray you into heaven, you'd be saved. If I could pray people into heaven, everybody'd be saved. But I can't do that. You see, I can't pray a prayer of salvation on behalf of anyone but myself. I can't pray for forgiveness of others and that be heard before God. I pray for me. You pray for you. You know, some people believe that you can pray for forgiveness for the dead. But I'll tell you something, folks. When you die, it's too late to pray. I can't pray them into heaven. I can't pray that God would have mercy on them. Because the opportunity has passed. You see, God created man because God wanted man. That's you and that's me. That's man, that's woman. Because God wanted children. And here's why I believe God created man. You see, God had the angels that are created beings that he made to worship him. You study in the Old Testament and you see all the beauty and the things that God created, the creatures that he created, the four corners of the throne of God, those that represented those kingdoms, and you see what God did. God created man because he wanted you to worship him of your own volition. And what that means is of your own free will. See, God gave you a choice. You don't have to serve him. You don't have to follow him. He already had the angels and the cherubim to do that. But he created man to allow man to have a free will and a choice. But here's something to understand about God. You can believe this or not. I'm going to give you some verses in a minute. If God wanted you on your knees, you'd be on your knees. Because he's God and we're not. But he does not want to do this. And you think about this. Is love really love if it's forced? If I had to force my wife to love me, it wouldn't be love. If she had to force me to love her, it wouldn't be love.
If God were to force you to love him, it wouldn't be love. So you don't have to love God. You don't have to choose God. You don't have to follow God. It's up to you. But here's something else I believe God wants the non-believer to understand. If you don't follow him and you don't want him, you don't have to have him, but you're not going to spend eternity with him. You see, as a non-believer, as a person who rejects God, you will not receive the blessings of heaven. You know, there are many great things that you're going to miss, basically because you said, I don't want them. You see, I have great things waiting for me in heaven. I have a dad and a mom who's in heaven. I have a little sister in heaven. I have grandmothers and granddaddies in heaven. I have saints of God and people that I have worshiped with and loved just as close as my family that are in heaven. There are great things that God hath prepared. The Bible says, eyes not seen, ears not heard, but it's something great and I'm going to receive it. But I want it. You see, people say, well, I just don't care anything about it. Well, you won't have to go. You won't have to go. But here's something else I want you to understand. God wants the non-believer to understand this. And as preachers and teachers and a church, we have to explain this. There is a God, and you are not him. And if you don't accept him, you will not escape the judgment of God. You see, simply saying, I don't believe and I won't receive, doesn't mean you won't stand before God and give an account for this life. Because God does have a standard, and there are certain things that are right and wrong, and every one of us need forgiveness for sins. And because I need forgiveness for sins, I accept what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross so that when I stand before God in judgment, I'm not going to be looked at as Joe Holcomb, but I'm going to be looked at as a child of God, as a son of God, as a child of Jesus Christ, and where the blood has been applied to my life, to everything, everything. I'm not going to stand there because I'm good or better than you. I'm going to stand there because I'm a believer. And if you stand before God and God the Father looks at you and he says, what did you do with my son? What did you do with the message of the cross? What did you do with the opportunity for salvation? And you look at him in your heart and you know that you mocked God and you rejected God and you threw God aside when God spoke to your heart through his Holy Spirit. And God's going to look at you and he's going to say, depart from me. You don't want heaven? You don't have to go. But you know, the Bible gives us some insight. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, it says this. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by those that heard him? And here's the last point, and I'll be done. I'm going to ask Miss Donna to come and sing a song. What I want you to understand is you will not be God. Sometimes people that reject God, they actually get very defiant. They want to argue with you. I don't want to argue with you about the Bible. And I'll just be honest with you. The Bible says not. It teaches us not to argue with a fool. See, the Bible says the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. But they want to be defiant, and they want to stand, and they want to argue. It's almost like I'll stand before God, and I even heard this mentioned to me recently. Somebody said, I'd rather be wrong and stand against the Bible than to agree. Let me tell you something. If you're standing against the Bible, you are wrong. This is the standard. It's not mine. I'm not God. I didn't write this. But in the book of Revelation, it gives us some insight. In the sixth chapter, and it talks about the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? You see, you will not be God, you will not escape God. And in the Old Testament, it was given to us in Isaiah chapter number 45. The prophet wrote, according to the movement of the Holy Spirit, knowing what was to come. And he said, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. You see, what I believe this is, and I'll show you a reference verse in just a minute in Romans chapter number 14. It says it's going to come a day when Jesus Christ is going to stand up. And he's not going to be wearing fisherman's sandals, and he's not going to be looking weak, and he's not going to come in a lowly manger, but he's going to be robed in white. His eyes are going to be as a flame of fire, and his voice is going to be as the sound of many waters. He's God. He's King of kings. He's Lord of lords. There's nobody like him. Never going to be anybody else like him. And when he stands up, I tell you exactly what you're going to do. Every person in the world, every nation, every tribe, every tongue is going to bow. Now, I want to tell you something. I've already bowed. He's my Lord. Because the scripture says in Romans 14:11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. You can say, well, I don't believe it, I don't receive it. You need to think about it. If you're listening this morning as a believer, God has a message for you. He has a message for me. God hears you, God loves you. He's my Lord. He's King of kings to me. He's Lord of my life. I couldn't make it without him. God wants you to know he hears you, he loves you, and he cares about what's going on in your life. And if you're out there this morning and you're searching, today is the day that you need to accept Jesus. Today is the day that you need to allow the love and mercy of God to come into your life and allow God to be your own personal Savior and let him develop a relationship with you and you with him that he can make you be the very best that you can be. But also, God has a message for you as a non-believer. He's coming. He's coming whether you like it or not. When he comes, he's going to be God. It's not because of me or anything I say or know. I'm nobody. But he's true and he's powerful and he's coming. We're going to have a song if God spoke to you and you're here and you like to pray. These altars are always open. But I tell you, if you're listening by Facebook this morning where the altar's at, it's wherever you're at. You could be out somewhere on a creek bank. You could be driving down the road. You can be in your den. You can be sitting out on a porch. If God spoke to your heart and you're feeling something inside of your heart, that Holy Spirit speaking to you, it's time just to look up to heaven. Maybe slip down to your knees. I've even known of people getting saved driving down the road. I tell you, when you can get saved and get right with God, it's when you get to the point that you're willing to cry out to him and just say, Lord, help me. And she sings this song. And this will be the end of our service. If God spoke to you and you'd like to pray, he said, come unto me. He's still looking for you. Time's not out yet. Would you please come to the Lord?
Dove. deep sorrow. I see your light is breaking through. The dark of night will not overtake me. Lord, I'm pressing into you. Lord, you fight my every battle. Oh, and I will not fear. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. You amaze me, redeem me. You call me as your own. You amaze me, redeem me. You call refuge in the storm. Through these trials, you've always been faithful. You bring healing to my soul. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never.
Thank you, Miss Donna. Thank you, church, for being here this morning, and thank you for tuning in. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Amen.